Never go into partnership in a business with someone else. That's advice that I have heard many, many, many times from people. And honestly, I think it's really bad advice because like we're going to be talking about today in today's Carrotcast, we're going to be talking about some of the partnerships I have been in personally in my businesses. I've been in three business partnerships so far, and we're going to be talking about all three of them, how some of them worked, how some of them did not work, what we found that you absolutely need to do if you're going to go into business partnership with someone else. There's some really, really, really critical things that most people don't do, myself included. I didn't do my first two business partnerships. But as we started Carrot, we got really, really, really intentional with what we want to create as a business, what we want to create in our lives, what we want to create for our clients, our team members, ourselves, with intentionality. And we're going to walk you guys through on this call with my co-founder of Carrot, Chris Carr. He's our chief technology officer. He also does a lot of other things with Carrot. We're going to kind of talk through how we found each other. You know, how did we structure the partnership? What pitfalls did we have? What struggles have we had? Because we're not the same personality type. We don't work the same way. So how do we get through that stuff? And there's also some tests that we really recommend that you guys take yourselves if you're going to go into business partnership with someone. Have all of your employees take these certain tests. And it's really going to help you streamline the way that you communicate with your partners, with your team members. Hey, it could even be your spouse, okay? Because partnerships aren't just for business. So guys, if you've heard the advice about never go into business with someone else, I have had my last three companies as partnerships, and it's been amazing, but I've learned a lot, okay? So you guys are going to have an amazing, amazing, hopefully some amazing insights on today's call with my co-founder of Carrot, Chris Carr. Now, before we hop into that call, guys and gals, we have a lot of other Carrot casts on here that you probably have not listened to, all the way from many of our clients who are just out there crushing it. Martin Bonesire, former two-time Olympian out there in markets like Phoenix and Grand Rapids, crushing it while he's making offers lower than the majority of his competition. How is he closing these deals? How is he getting these deals when his offers come in much, much, much lower and the sellers want to work with him more than anyone else? Well, he's going to tell you. So go to carrotcast.com, go to carrotcast.com and find that episode with Martin Bonesire. Also, we just recently did a podcast with one of the largest home buyers in the country. Okay. One of the largest home buyers in the country, the CEO of Express Home Buyers, Brad Chandler, a good friend of mine of many years and also client of Carrot. How did he build his business from his first deal to his first 2,000 deals? Okay. How did he grow his team? Why did he grow his team? What things did he look at when he was growing his business and said, you know what? The business has to look this way. Otherwise, it's not going to fulfill us. Otherwise, it's not going to help us reach where we want to go. Listen to that episode with Brad and many other episodes, all the way from people who are earning hundreds of thousands a year in positive cash flow with rental properties, to people who are flipping 3-5 houses a month, to people who are great at marketing, and even to people like my good friend Ben Settle, who we just had on recently, who's one of the top copywriters, sales copywriters in the world, especially when it comes to email. And he breaks down, him and I break down what we do, especially what he does when he writes copy. How do you write persuasive words in your marketing, in your websites, in your postcards, in your emails? So you really guide those prospects, no matter what business you're in, to take the actions that you can help them make, that you can help them solve. Okay. So anyway, guys and girls, there's lots of resources here in the Carrot Cast. Go to carrotcast.com, check out the other ones. And please, while you're there, hit us up on iTunes and give us a rating. Those ratings and reviews really are like fuel to me, like fuel to our whole team, knowing that we're doing the right things. Okay. So go to carrotcast.com and, or go to iTunes, look for us up there. Give us a rating and review. Take that 2 minutes out of your day, please. It would mean a lot to me. All right. Without further ado, let's dive in. I want to introduce you guys to Chris Carr, the co-founder of Carrot. Thanks. I'm really excited about this podcast as well, and for a different reason. Most of the time on our Carrot Cast, we have on real estate investors who are guests or marketing experts or whatnot. Today, I've actually got my co-founder, Chris Carr, on the podcast. And for many of you guys, this is going to be the first time you've ever been officially introduced to Chris. So I'll introduce you guys to him here in a second. But there's some things we're going to dive into on this call that I think are going to be really important to people, no matter what business you're in. It could be, you know, real estate. It could be a software company. It could be any type of company. You've heard the horror stories of partnerships. You've heard the things you should do and you should not do. do with partnerships. And this is my third business partnership now, and I've learned a lot just in the previous two and in this one. And we're going to be kind of digging into that. Like, you know, what have we learned so far going on our third full year in business together? You know, what are some things we've found that help us kind of really drill into our roles and things like that? So without further ado, Chris, welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. So first of all, tell people where you are, because you're not in Roseburg where I am and where some of the other team is. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in a different loft. Actually, it's not a loft at all. It's my home office. Yeah, I live just a couple hours north of Carrot HQ there in Salem. And just beyond me, of course, is Alex. And we kind of take up the top to the bottom of Oregon as best as we can.
It's kind of a different dynamic, for sure, growing this company. I guess people would call it a virtual company or distributed company. I know when you and I first connected, we weren't at all thinking about going into business together. It kind of developed to be that. But, how has it been for you and Alex? Alex is in Portland. You're in Salem. So for people who are not familiar with Oregon, they're toward the north end of the state. Roseburg is kind of the middle south end of the state. And yeah, we're 2.5 hours from Portland and about an hour and a half, about 2 hours from you in Salem. So how has it kind of been for you guys being away from quote unquote Carrot HQ, you know, seeing your day to day work?
Well, it's funny because we do have, you know, you have the loft there in Roseburg, but, yeah, I've been up here in the Salem area since the very beginning. So we've always been that, distributed virtual company and yeah, from Roseburg up to Portland, but also Brendan's down in Klamath. So that's about as south as you can get. We span all of Oregon, which is interesting because it makes us kind of like a distributed team, but we're, most of us are not all that far away from each other. So exactly. Yeah. You know, I think the biggest benefit of that for me is, you know, I'm more on the technical side of stuff. I dive into projects that, you know, I'll start in the morning and I won't really look up for hours just because I'm sitting here at my computer, but it gives me the ability to really dig into that stuff and have fewer distractions. We can talk a little bit more about office at home you know, a little bit later, but, you know, most of the time fewer distractions, but it, you know, being kind of close together, it allows us to get together on a pretty regular basis. And, you know, those seasons where we need to get together a lot, we're able to do that. Yeah, we've got a lot of great tools now that keep us in contact and able to do podcasts remotely just a couple hours away. You know, continue to get work done on both sides of that, which I think is interesting.
Dude, exactly. I'm sitting here writing some notes, you know, as you were talking. I'm going, man, we need to dive into the tools we use and how we communicate with the distributed team, because just giving people a quick run through on how Carrot is structured anyway. And like, so there's a really important reason we're doing this call. It may not be specific to real estate, but if you guys are wanting to grow a business, if you're wanting to grow a business that possibly gives you freedom, that attracts great people no matter where you're living, and also kind of gives you that spatial freedom to where you can go and work where you want to work, we're going to be diving into what we do here at Carrot, so you guys can emulate that. But also on the partnership side, we're going to unpack that a little bit. One thing I want to point out though, so right behind you, you've got the core values poster on your wall for Carrot. Mine is actually in front of my computer over there, so people can't see it behind me. But that's one thing that we've done here at Carrot very intentionally. We'll probably talk on it a little bit more here later. There we go. We got some Carrot buds there. Get the big carrot bud over there, or the big carrot over there. So we always want to try to kind of create those environments around our team members to where we have the core values in front of us, things like that. We'll touch on that here in a bit and kind of how we develop that, what it has meant, how we kind of make a cohesive culture, even though we're hundreds, if not thousands of miles away. But dude, let's kind of roll back to the beginning. So I was just thinking, you know, a couple of weeks ago, how it all started, and it seems like every now and then that pops up. I'm going, man, that's really interesting. And the convo came up when I was talking with a mutual friend of ours, DJ Thielen, who was the one who introduced us. And I was telling DJ, I'm like, man, so thinking through, you're the dude who really introduced, Chris and I to each other back in, what was it? Probably 2012, I think. Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So 2012. And why don't you kind of tell people what you were doing before Carrot came along? What were your aspirations? What did your business look like? Dude, were there any struggles you had, or what were some great things you had in that business?
Yeah. So just before you and I got started together, and kind of the reason we got started together is because I was an independent web developer. And I was, I was on that hustle for work and, you know, looking for people that I could build websites for and, you know, kind of do a little bit of maintenance here and there. So that was what I did on the daily. So same sort of thing. I was in a home office with, done plenty of other things before that, but, yeah, I kind of self-taught myself the, that web development stuff. I've got ties to real estate investing from years before that even. So it's, yeah. And, you know, I was just ready at that point when you and I got started together, you know, I was ready to kind of dig in with you and build some websites and do some maintenance on stuff you had already. And, you know, that's kind of where I saw things going for me for a while. And, you know, I was excited to get involved with you because, I'd known DJ for a while and met him through his brother and through some of his business partners and real estate stuff that they were doing. So it's kind of just trickled me through that those real estate contacts, real estate investor contacts, and yeah, ended up with a referral to you and we did a couple projects together. So we've told that story a couple of times about how you and I started on projects, which I think is pretty funny. If you want to talk a little bit about that.
No, totally. So it's cool. Now we can talk about this cause it's legal in Oregon, but, and I was doing nothing illegal before, but I was in a mastermind. I was in a mastermind. I think it was in 2011, 2012 with a good friend of mine, Greg, an entrepreneur. He owns a few pretty big businesses. And one of the clients in that, who funny story, full circle, that client's now a Carrot customer of ours too. Nice. But, full circle is that client, they were working in the medical marijuana business, in a certain state. And, it was illegal. You know, it was something that was voted on as legal and they weren't partakers themselves in the marijuana, but they saw a great business out of it. And they also did a lot of real estate. So in that mastermind, they knew that I had somewhat of a skill set in generating leads online and SEO and that kind of thing. And they had a real struggle with getting some website stuff set up. So I think the very first project we ever worked on was a website called makemoneywithmarijuana.com. And it's not like you guys, not like it sounds. Basically, this client was wanting to teach people how to basically build a business in the medical marijuana business. So completely legit. And we launched the website. You know, there's a few really important lessons for me just that you guys should take note on as you're building out your businesses and finding potential business partners or people to work with is my mindset with especially web developers, or you can move that to anything. Content writers, if you're a real estate investor, it could be your transaction coordinator, it could be a marketer, it could be anything. So it's not specific on the role. But what I would do is I would project kind of what my thoughts were on the project, and I would almost like try to find the cheapest people I could find who could just copy exactly what I said to do. And my previous web developers that I had were always, you know, pretty cheap. They're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 bucks an hour, maybe max. I'm going, oh my gosh, that's expensive. And I would mock it up like on Keynote or something, which that's kind of a running joke now here at Carrot, because I'm not a graphic person, but if I need to make something visually and I'm like, I need to relay it, I don't know how to use Photoshop. So I just whip up Mac, you know, Apple Keynote and I make a little graphic of it. Anyway, that's how I did things. And the bad thing was anytime I would outsource things, since I'm not a good designer, I'm not a good web developer, I would be getting a crappy version of my own thinking. And I'm not like a good, once again, I don't have that creativity. So when I went into it with you, Chris, it was the same thing. I'm like, well, this is just how web developers have to be talked to, because for some reason I can't relay what's in my head to them, and all the ones I've been working with just have terrible ideas and they make it worse. So I just want you to do exactly this. And I'd like to, I think I made a mock-up of it, or there was a website that was already up and said like, dude, just do this. Like, don't waver from it. And the cool thing was, and this is what I think, this is the very first thing that made me think about Chris in a much different way than I ever had with any other web developer. And once again, guys and girls, if you're listening to this, take note, is I sent those specs through to Chris. What he did not do was just take orders and just do it. Okay. He did develop what it was, what I had, but he said, here's five different ways or whatever it was to make it way better. I think you should do this to make it better. And if you guys are out there looking for outsourcers for any type of business, don't find the person who can just take orders. Find that they're a dime a dozen. Find the person who can do what it is, but then brings their own vision, their own creativity, their own expertise to make it way better. As soon as you find that person, engage them again and have them do another project, another project, another project, because they're going to be someone who's going to be really valuable for you. And you and I have talked about this, Chris, but that was one of the first big things I got. It's like, man, so this is the first person who's ever given me an idea on the web development side that was really good, and it didn't have to come from my brain. And over the successive projects after that, I quickly realized, maybe not quickly, but I realized, because I had to get out of my own pattern, I realized, I'm like, man, I've been thinking of things all wrong. I've been going for cheap people who could just do what I wanted them to do in a skill that I'm not even good at, versus finding people who charge more, but they're well worth it because they're experts in it. And that's something that, of course, you are and have become even more with Carrot. So really, really thankful for those happenstance circumstances and makemoneywithmarijuana.com, which is no longer online. But the project obviously went well enough to where we're business partners now. So
yep.
It's funny. So, dude, so here, I want to throw a couple questions at you, because same thing. I want to kind of introduce you to the audience more, but also these are some things that on your side of the partnership that I think a lot of people may be asking themselves if they're out there looking to get a partner or join up forces with someone. What made it for you attractive to possibly join and create a business with me rather than continue with your web development stuff?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's actually funny because I see the other side of that. You know, I know web developers, and I know people who are independent or, like freelancers, or, you know, that work for a company and they're just an employee, and they're like, you know, how do I get Carrot for whatever, you know? And that's, I heard that just the other day. I think maybe for the first time in writing, somebody said, well, it's like Carrot, but for whoever. I'm like, that's a cool thing. It's like when you hear somebody say it's like Twitter for, for whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that saying is funny, and it was cool to see that somebody using Carrot as kind of the gold standard for building websites quickly and easily for a niche. But, like I said, I was on the grind for work, and the interesting thing about being a web developer is, it's the same with all sorts of services. Is you'll get a contract to build something, you'll spend some time building that, and you'll spend all your time on that project, and then once that project's done, it's in and out the door, and you got to go find more. Mm-hmm. So my business was healthy in as much as I was able to support my family, and almost all of the work that I did at that point, about the time you and I got started together, was referral based. So I feel like that's because I did a good job and was a personable person, and provided more value than I was charging or than I was billing for, which I try to help other people now understand their value. Mm-hmm. But at the time I was one of those $40 an hour, freelance web developers. And, you know, I was, spending half my time trying to find more work and half my time actually doing work, which doesn't bring in $40 an hour or full time. So you're working double full time, and it's a grind. So, there's kind of that idea for a lot of web developers and just people who are, are into technology type businesses, which is, there's like three different ways to go about that. There's working for somebody else. There's working kind of independently on other people's projects. And then there's, I guess there's more than three, but basically, you know, working on somebody else's stuff, starting your own thing and running that, or working for somebody. And, there's different values of stability and risk involved with each one of those. And I was at the point when we started talking about kind of the different projects that you had and how much work you needed on each one, where it's like, I wasn't at the point for taking a huge risk and, cutting off all of my freelance business and going all in on a project that might turn out to be something great and big. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was definitely at the point where I'm like, I need to do something different besides just be on this grind for the next 30 years, looking for work.
Yeah. And it's tough because, same thing, people watching this or listening to this, I've heard this quote many times. I'm going to completely butcher it, but there's several different income models, right? You've got the work, you've got the trade hours for dollars model, which is where most of us start. I mean, just frankly, that's where most of us start, because that's the most common. It's the easiest way to say, hey, I did an X amount of work and here's what I charge for it, and you get this value. Then you've got the other model, where you actually build an asset that produces income for you. Okay, so you got to build the thing, but it produces income for you. Ideally, kind of like the proverbial while you sleep, you know, kind of thing, like they say in infomercials and stuff. And then after that, you have an asset, you own the asset rather than work in the asset, where the asset just really produces for you without working. Now, we're not at that point yet. I have no aspiration to be at that point quite yet because I really enjoy what we're doing. But there are those three models: work, trade hours for dollars, build an asset that pays you while you sleep, you're still working, or you've got the completely passive model where now the asset pays you while you're not working at all. And when you look at people who are really, really wealthy, if we're just going to talk wealth for a second, they tend to be the people who are on the top end of it. You know, they own the assets, but they don't work in the assets. They hire people to work in those assets. Where you can really start to build traction and wealth and get away from the grind, as far as the grind and earning income, is what we are with Carrot right now, where we have a really great asset. We're working in the asset. We're working in the business, and able to kind of structure more and more of our work the way that we want. But that's something I think people should really kind of grasp with what we're talking about here is number one, what is your income model right now, guys and gals? Are you trading hours for dollars? If you are, what's the first thing you can do to build an asset that creates income for you? If you're a wholesaler or a flipper, it's a great income opportunity, but without building a team, without partnering with someone like I have done or finding some people to hire, you're going to be continually trading hours for dollars. You're just going to be, for a lot more dollars than before, but you're just a high paid job, which I don't think is the aspiration for anyone. And I remember when we first started getting going, like you were saying, it started with a couple projects, then it kind of went to, well, shoot, you know, what if we could buy X percent of your time? How much does that cost us? And then it kind of, what if we could buy more? And then eventually it came to a point to where in your mind, it made sense for you to go, you know what? I think this is stable enough. I feel enough security that I can now basically put all of my time into this project. You're into this business. What was that leap like for you? Because it went from you running the business to now you really, I mean, not being a majority shareholder, but you see that there's a lot of growth ahead of you, and really diving into this business with a dude you've known less than a year at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a transition, and it's not dissimilar from somebody who's looking to get into real estate investing and has a full-time job and feels like things are stable, but wants something different for their life. Okay. As soon as I saw that, that we were building something that was really helping people and didn't involve my time directly involved with each one of those specific people. Mm-hmm. I got in the back of my head this scaling. I use this term of, especially in the first couple of years when we were taking care of from building individual websites for people to something that was a system for everybody. I had this idea in the back of my mind, and I looked at everything as just how could we make this scale, and how could we help a huge amount of people with the work that just a few of us on this team are able to really spend a lot more time on instead of, you know, small amounts of time with every single person. And as soon as I got a taste of that, and we started seeing customers who were happy with this and who we were helping. And, I got that, I don't know, it's kind of like an adrenaline rush of scale. And I'm like, well, this is what I need to be doing. And every time one of my old clients would call me up and they'd say, hey, my email's not working, I'd just be like, I cannot help you. Like, and I'd spend, you know, nights, kind of working on that stuff when I was able to keep those people happy just in case. And I was looking forward to just the day when I could say, I'm all carry it all the time. And I believe in this to the point that there's no reason to hang on to those other customers that I had, and I'd be doing some of that night work for a couple bucks here and there. So it was definitely a transition period, just because I had a lot of people who were counting on me and who I'd worked with over the years and I liked, and they were my friends, and I cared about them, and I wanted to see them continue to be successful. So it was kind of a hard transition, but man, I was just so excited to be working with you and to be growing this team and all the new people that we were meeting and hiring. And never thought about going back, that's for sure. It's been a very freeing and growing experience for me. I've gone from a guy sitting in an office, not unlike this, building websites for 10 to 12 hours a day, to somebody who can help manage these teams that we're building and help a whole lot of people, which is great.
No, totally. And I'm just, I'm going to kind of bring up this part of the conversation too, because I think most people want to be entrepreneurs because it helps them gain more freedom or live the lifestyle they want to live or have that extra comfort. And I mean, you guys were able to buy a home just recently, which is awesome. And it's the coolest thing in the world, being able to build a company that has amazing team members. And we're really going out there trying to help our team members live the lives they want to live, which in turn helps our clients do the same thing. And I do want to talk culture here in a little bit. But before culture, I kind of want to talk about some of the partnership stuff, because once again, this is my third partnership. All three of the people I've been in partnership with have been amazing people. One partnership didn't work out. I ended up just getting my money back out of it, and I'm still really good friends with him. And I really do respect him. The partnership just didn't work out, and there's reasons why, and I'm going to be bringing them up on this call. But the first partnership worked out great, but same thing. I'm really good friends with him, but I exited that partnership for a very specific reason. Because I wasn't happy in my role in that business anymore. I've really learned a lot. So Carrot now is kind of my third business. I exited both partnerships while we were starting Carrot. I mean, it was like the publishing company was, I can't remember the timeline specifically there, but I just wasn't happy in my role in the business that I had made for myself. I wasn't just happy with what I was doing, the mission of the company, all that stuff. Even though we had great people, great customers, I was like looking back on, man, there were a lot of great parts to it, but the things that were missing were the things that hit me at my core. And when you and I were starting to build this company, we just kind of went, hey, we're just going to build this very intentionally. We're going to make sure that we build it in a way to where it really serves exactly why we want to start a business. And I think my lessons from those previous partnerships definitely fed my own perception in there. So what are some of the things that you've seen just over the past, I mean, once again, 3 years now, that are things that we did really well on the partnership side? And this is your first partnership, I think. But what are some things you go, man, that worked out really well because we did X and it helped us plan it out? Or go, man, these are some stumbling blocks we ran into, and these are some big ones, because we have ran into some personality stuff. Not like we have a conflict, but just we have completely different ways of working. How do we deal with that? So what are some of those things that cross your mind, good and bad, partnership-wise?
Yeah, well, this definitely is my first partnership of this kind. I work with a lot of people over the years, and you know, after just a few conversations that we had, I didn't feel like you know, I had any real reservations in getting much more involved in business with you personally. And like you said, we have very different personalities. Yeah. And I love that. And, you know, things get heated in Slack sometimes with me just like trying to almost just play a little bit devil's advocate. Like, yeah. I'm not emotionally, like really emotionally and seriously invested in some of these conversations that we have a lot of the times, but I'm just like, you know, trying to provide a different dynamic. And that's been the most interesting part of this, I think. And I think it helps a lot that we're close enough that we can get together and float the river and have a beer every once in a while and make sure that we have personal relationships that are stronger than any business disagreements or not really even disagreements, but just conversations we have that take, you know, different sides. And I felt like over the years, there's been a lot of times where we've had decisions to make, and I come into it with an idea for what decision we should make. You come into it with an idea for what decision we can make, and we always end up on something totally different than either of those things.
Yeah.
Not always, but oftentimes. And I love when that happens, because if I was making all the decisions in this business, it would not be anything like it is right now. And I hope that it would be the same if it was just you making all the decisions. So, that personal dynamic stuff, as we get more people involved in the team, you know, I see more of that, and can kind of, just me personally, I have a pretty easy time keeping my emotions out of the stuff like that, and kind of seeing it from a bit more on the outside. And I like that. I think it's interesting. It's been a lot of fun with everybody that we bring on board, and kind of get into, like we talked about, our culture and stuff. But other things with the partnership that have kind of surprised me or been good learning experiences. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely new to me. I've worked with, not in a partnership role, but with a lot of different people, like I said, and I've seen some things happen in businesses that I've been involved in that helped me kind of know what not to do or what not to do in my own business, which I think was great for me. And I'm glad that I had some of those experiences before I got started in, you know, a business that we can call our own. But yeah, I can, nothing else kind of big comes to mind for me right now. So tell me a couple of things that maybe you're thinking about and we can chat about them.
Yeah. I'll throw out a few things right here. So with my previous two partnerships, one thing that we didn't do with either, and like I said, I'm still really good friends with both of those co-founders, but one thing that we didn't really do was we weren't crazy intentional, like the contribution of each person. We just said, hey, we like each other. Hey, we both have a little bit of a different skill set. That's an issue we'll go in here in a bit. Our skill sets were not different enough in my previous companies. And the way that we made decisions was not different enough in the previous companies. So it just didn't work in one of them in particular. But I know going into this company, I was like, man, here's the role that I want and that I'm good at. And I hope that I can grow into this role. And same thing, like, here's what you're really good at. And we were really, really clear on what our roles were, at least to start. Now they've adjusted a lot over the past 2.5 years, like a lot. But I knew that I was going to be leading all the finances, all the business, the real business decisions, most of the hiring at the start, pretty much most of the strategy at the start. But then what happened, which I was pleasantly surprised with, is Chris dove in and really took a lot of leadership in the company, to where now I don't really know what your official title should be right now, but we've talked about it where he is technically this chief technology officer of Carrot, the dude running the development of our products. But behind the scenes, he's running a lot more things than that. He's making sure that I don't get in trouble with my bajillion ideas, and he makes sure he throws a different perspective to him. And also he makes sure that our team is just staying on track with stuff and staying organized, because that's not inherently a strength of mine. So that was a biggie, just really understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses. And it's not going to be perfect from day one. You have to be really intentional with learning them. Another thing I think that we did pretty good, but once again, it wasn't like we sat down and said, hey, let's learn each other's personality. It was just something we just learned. It's like, hey, we've got to kind of figure out how each other think a little bit more. So we have gone through and had the whole team go through and take some personality tests. One in particular that we really, really love is called the Kolbe test, Kolbe. And dude, I'd love your perspective. So when I first asked everyone to take the test, what were your thoughts? Because you're kind of usually the kind of guy who just I wouldn't see taking one of those tests on your own, but you did, and I think it's been a lot of value. But what was your first reaction? And now, what do you feel the kind of value that the understanding how each other works is played in the business?
Yeah, it's definitely not something that I would go and seek out on my own, and that's why that's one of those things where I'm glad that. You're in charge of that, because it's been a big benefit for us, I think. And it's, you know, it's not something that we go back to and refer to a lot, but, you know, seeing a scale of, you know, some skills and traits for each team member just helps us know kind of where places that don't make sense to me probably make sense to somebody else, and the other way around too. So like where I might not go out and need something like this, I would feel like, my time is better spent writing some code on something probably. That's kind of shown in that, in those numbers. And it helps me realize that just because I understand something or I, you know, something comes easily or quickly to me doesn't mean that it's the same for anybody else. And those are important lessons to learn. Not even to know somebody's specific scores and things, but just to understand that, where something maybe not make sense to me does make sense to somebody else and the other way around. And that's why, we need to be careful on how we communicate with people, and you know that plays into, you know, other personal relationships that we have as well. Just because we're all built and wired differently, and I think it's my personality probably is where I I feel like I've thought through each problem and here's the most logical and concise answer for this problem. So it's the right answer. And oftentimes there's no right answer. It's simply just a way of doing stuff.
So this is something I want everyone to write down. So if you have a co-founder or if you have employees or team members, I really feel strongly everyone should be taken, including yourself, should be taken the Kolbe test, K-O-L-B-E. I think it's like $25. Take the whatever it is. It's the $25 one. I think it's $25. Either $25 or $50. But it scores you on basically four things, right? So there's they call it fact finder, follow through, quick start, and implementer. But the last one isn't actually what it sounds like. And this basically grades the way that, not grades, that's a bad word. It basically puts you on the scale of 1 to 10 on how you work. And so the reason this is important, guys and gals, is my previous partnerships, we didn't do that. I didn't really understand how the other person worked. He didn't understand how I worked. And the partnership that did not work out, even though we're still good friends, it didn't work out because we're like exactly the same on the Kolbe scale. You know, we were both high quick starts, like an 8 on quick start, which is someone who is a visionary. They have lots of ideas. They're okay with change. They're okay with leaving things halfway done, which I hate that, but I really struggle to get away from that. And then low on follow through. So I think I'm like a 3 on follow through, which you look at that and go, how the heck can you ever get anything done if you're always coming up with ideas and not following through on anything? That's because I have a great co-founder. That's because we have great people on our team who we make sure take the test and we put them in a role. If they need to be higher on follow through, we make sure that they're higher on follow through and lower on quick start. And it's just been a big deal. And also I think one thing with working with you and working with some of our other team members, when I see someone who's a high quick start, low follow through now, like Adrian, as an example, he's kind of like me. We've started to adjust how we work with them. We sort of adjust how we talk with people depending on how they work. We've also started to adjust on what projects will actually say, hey, you tackle this, because, me and Adrian being high quick starts, we're the first ones to say, yeah, I'll do that. Because we just want to make everyone happy and just do it. But we're the first ones also to not follow through on it the way that we should. So I've learned myself, I have a lot of room here to grow, but I've learned myself with Adrian and myself. It's like, all right, I need to put in someone who's higher on follow through to help us actually get this done. Otherwise it's not going to succeed. And that's one of the biggest pieces of advice I would give anyone if you're going to start a partnership is have you guys take the Kolbe test. And what they say is ideally you shouldn't be more than about 5 points apart on any of the important ones that follow through in the quick start. What's your follow through and quick start? Do you remember?
I don't recall.
I think you were like a 6 or something like that on quick start. I'm sorry, on follow through. I think it was around there. Quick start, I don't remember what it was. But what's going to follow through, guys and gals, is actually getting stuff done. There's a great book. I think it's called Rocket Fuel. I would highly suggest everyone read this book. And Rocket Fuel, the book, talks about finding an integrator into your business. The integrator is the person who actually gets stuff done. It's the person who helps make sure that the mission and vision are on track, that the mission and vision are, you know, we're marching forward to getting those projects done. And I would say that, and there's several integrators in our business, but Chris was kind of like my guy at the start to go, I could not even start to fulfill and grow this business without having someone who gets stuff done and who is organized and is a process oriented person and who is not the last thing in the world that we wanted, Chris, was you and I to hop on the phone like I did in my previous partnership and come out with 35 ideas that we wouldn't actually do anything on. Mm-hmm. That would have been a death sentence to the business. And having a partner who was the integrator, not the opposite. You don't want the opposite. Because if Chris was like 1 quick start and 8 follow through, we wouldn't be able to get anything done either. That's a way that another partnership with a friend of mine, not me myself, but him and a business partner of him, it imploded because him and his partner were way too far separate. They couldn't come together on decisions. They couldn't ever compromise because they're so completely different. So make sure when you guys have people take the test, especially your co-founder, that you guys aren't more than 5 points apart. If you guys are more than 5 points apart, really seriously sit down and have a heart to heart and figure out how you guys are going to solve differences, because they will come up quite often. Anything else on the personality test and that kind of stuff before we kind of move on to some other stuff?
Well, I mentioned at one point that I've got people kind of from the other side too, from the development side. And they're like, how do I get from, from being an independent, developer looking for work all the time to, you know, having something of my own and growing a business. And, it takes different skills, and you find somebody who's, you know, right across the middle on all that stuff, and they might be able to start something on their own and develop it and grow it on their own. But, you know, there isn't that passion level of, you know, those different parts, I feel like. And, you know, maybe those people exist. Maybe that just doesn't happen. But that's something that I feel like really worked out well for us. And, you know, I think part of that's luck, and part of it's, you know, your experience with partnerships and my hesitation to get into partnerships.
Yeah.
But, you know, when somebody asked me, how do I get into something like that? You know, I recommend just looking for people and not looking for even a niche. You know, the reason that we're successful with real estate investors isn't because I know how to make great real estate investor software. Mm-hmm. It's because you had the history and the experience and the connections with this industry to be able to take a great piece of software that we could develop and get involved with a lot of people. And from there, we're able to make something that works and then iterate on that until we have something that's really special. And so when I hear that question from people, you know, this probably doesn't speak a whole lot to real estate investors, but, you know, developers or in some other aspect of growing a business, looking for somebody who complements you well. For me as a developer, it was looking for somebody who was much more knowledgeable on the marketing side. And if we are talking about, you know, building software for a niche like a real estate investors, it was, you know, finding somebody who has that expertise in that industry. Mm-hmm. And partnering up with somebody like that, not especially going out and finding additional developers that you can partner up with, and then try to take on an industry that you don't know a lot about. You know, partner up with those different skills.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, and I'm not I'm comparing us these guys, but you look at Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, right? So Steve Jobs would not have been able to build Apple computers without the dude who actually had the technical ability to do it. On the flip side, Wozniak would never have been able to sell the vision and sell the hardware and software like Steve Jobs did. So like Chris is saying, if you are a certain skill set where you are the implementer, you're the person who is the coder as an example, or you're an amazing negotiator for real estate, but you just aren't a great marketer. Okay. Or maybe you're the flip side of it, man. You can market all day, but you hate creating business structure, you hate managing people, you're just not good at it yet, and you need to challenge yourself. Maybe you don't like the negotiation part of it. If you love the marketing part, go out there and find someone who loves and is really good at the structure, who is great at negotiation, who is just really good at structuring processes. And you guys might be able to kind of be each other's integrator and grow the business. And that's one thing right there. I remember having a conversation with you way back when. I don't remember the exact words, but it was something in fact, I said, man, I can bring you all the business you want to handle. I can't implement it. You know, like I can't do the other half. So I'll make sure this business always has money coming in. And if you can make sure that we have an amazing software, amazing product. And as once again, it has turned into a lot more than that, where Chris is really helping to structure the business and the teams and things like that in a big way. So that's one thing that is huge, guys and gals. No matter your skill set, there's always someone who can complement you and amplify you. Okay. You look at just all the businesses out there that have seen huge success. Oftentimes there's the person behind the scenes. And that's one of the reasons I want to bring Chris on here, because he's really been behind the scenes as far as our clients have been concerned. There's usually someone behind the scenes making things work. The person kind of up front, the quote unquote rainmaker, as many people will call that person, is just half the battle. They're just half the, maybe not even half sometimes, but they're the ones that oftentimes gets credit. So I want to throw tons of credit your way, and also the other implementers, integrators on our team, man, who make stuff happen that people don't realize on the outside. It's huge. So I kind of want to go over into culture a little bit. So Adrian and I did a podcast a little while back, about a month back, where we talked about how to scale a business past oneself, how to scale it past yourself. Cause I really do feel now, after growing Carrot with you, that growing a business by myself does not sound fun anymore. And number one, I love the interaction with our team. Number two, I've realized I am really bad at way more things I'm good at. And it would be like pulling teeth for me to grow a business by myself at this point. So culture, we first formed our first set of Carrot core values, which are on the wall behind you. It's on the wall in front of me. I don't remember exactly when, but I think it was the end of 2013 or start of 2014. we did it in a way. I think we read the book, Delivering Happiness. Or at least I did right before that. I don't remember if we all read it, but Delivering Happiness from Tony Hsieh from Zappos. And I'm going, you know what? That's so true. We need to make sure we all believe in the same things, or at least very similar things. Kind of how do you remember that process going, and what kind of resonated with you, and what have you learned just over this past 3 years running a business truly based off of core values like we have? Putting you on the spot, man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was there for that process and I was involved in it, but I think I've kind of grown with the values that we set at that point, almost like goals for me, to where I probably felt more interested or more attached to a couple of these things. But, kind of as we've gone, it's helped us almost be like goals or things we want to attain. So sometimes it's not just how we feel like we're already running our business or how we feel like we want to run our business right now, but almost like, these are the things we want to grow into. It's like setting, looks like how we set our goals each quarter or each year. And kind of the best part of it now is when we come up against a decision and we're trying to decide how to make which direction to go with something. Cause sometimes we get in the same position. We're like, there's no right or wrong answer here. There's just a couple different options. And I like that we can take a look at those through the lens of our core values and decide if, one of these directions to go with a decision helps us reach those core, or helps us to keep ourselves, up to those core values or not. Mm-hmm. And, right now I feel like that's probably what I appreciate the most about them. But I love that those are on our sales site, and we've heard so much good feedback from our customers who joined because they went to our about page, saw the picture of us, saw what we think is important, and said, these are the people I want to work with. Mm-hmm. And those stories that we get from people are amazing. And, I feel like I've grown so much since we did that, if I'd been by myself picking core values, they would not have been these. And I just love that even though we've had people come and go who might have even been involved with that process, those core values have stuck around with us and have helped us build something that we're proud of and that we love. I love.
No, it's almost like, and we've talked about this before on CarrotCast, but also internally a lot, the core values, I think it's so cliche, the word core values, that people ignore doing them. They're like, oh yeah, core values. I just need a cool marketing piece. I don't need to do my core values right now. But everyone needs to start with the core values. If you guys aren't nailing your core values, what actually hits you at your core, and the important thing that I learned from Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness, was your core values in your business should be the same as your core values that live on in life. So you're not like transferring, you punch out for the day and then you're going home and switching to a different core values that you live by. That's the key. Is our core value, one of them isn't say, be the best real estate investing software in the world. Our core values have nothing to do with real estate. It has everything to do with how do we want to live our lives, which also translate into what type of business do we want to be? How do we want to run it? What are the employees? What type of employees do we want to attract? What type of customers do we want to attract? The whole thing, man. So it's just been a big deal. I'm going to shift complete gears on this right now, because as you were talking, I was thinking up, and we have about 10 more minutes here, guys and gals. And I want to talk about some specific partnership stuff, like document stuff that's really important that we've started to do the past year. As you guys grow your own business, and let's say you have a key employee or a partner, and like with Carrot, if something were to happen to Chris, I don't know what we would do. Like, we would be up to proverbial shit creek. Like, honestly, we would, pardon my French. And so we started to plan this out, going, okay, the business is growing, it's scaling, using the word that Chris used earlier, because we found a model that scaled. It wasn't trading hours for dollars anymore. And we go, okay, what if something happens to Chris? What if something happens to Trevor? What's the business look like afterwards? What kind of resources will we need to try to replace that person, so the rest of the team or the customers aren't struggling? And something we did put in place about a year ago, and I don't remember the name of it. You guys can talk to your insurance agent and see. But once you get to a big enough point in your business and someone's really important to a critical role, there's insurance that can basically cover you. So if that person were to get hit by the bus, as they say, walking outside today, that we have an insurance policy that covers each one of us, that then funds the company, and also another separate insurance policy that funds the spouse on like a buy sell agreement. And those are really important things, because oftentimes we look at the way that our business currently is running and we go, man, things are never going to change. It's always good. Or, man, we're young. Nothing's going to happen to us, or, you know, whatever it is. It's those stories, like a good friend of mine, John Paul Moses, who, you know, prayers are with him still. He got in a wreck about a month ago and he's still in the ICU, hasn't been waking up. And he's one of the first people I ever met in the entire real estate investment industry. Really good friend of mine. Comes to my mastermind every single year. I'm looking at going, man, we are not invincible. No matter how awesome we are, how young we are, how much we do for the community, how much you pray, whatever it is, like, none of us are invincible. So find those insurance policies. And I mean, do you have any input in the insurance stuff, or at least the kind of protecting the assets like that?
Nope, that's what you're here for.
Yeah, it's not exciting stuff, man, at all. But that's a good point. So if you are in a partnership, one of the people should be really good, or at least be able to handle all the administrative stuff. And here's one thing I've learned too, guys and gals, is if you are that person, let's say you're the CEO or you're the COO in a partnership, and that's your role, give your partners and your team as much as they need, but as little as possible, so you're not distracting them from their day to day. And that's one of the things that I do as a CEO is one of our core values is transparency, but I don't want to bug the rest of my team or my co-founder with stuff that they don't really need, like just to get them all agitated and bugged. You know, like if there's something going on, if there's a legal issue, of course they're going to know about it, but they're not going to know anything about the day to day and how we're handling it. It's only if there's things that pop up that they need to know so they can go and do their work great. And that's one of the roles I feel as the CEO is to shield the rest of your team so they can focus on what they do best. In a big way, and vice versa. I'm going to throw it back on your side, dude. There's so much that happens on the code side that I don't want to know about. And there's probably things that pop up that are issues. You guys just tackle it. You don't let me know unless it's a big, big issue.
Sure.
I think that's the way it should be. I'm just trying to think through any other important kind of legal things that someone should do in a partnership. I mean, you absolutely need an operating agreement, and that's like, go work with an attorney, guys and gals, get a real partnership agreement written up. Have real leadership retreats. Okay. No matter how, even if it's a 2-person team and there's no employees, once a quarter, once every 6 months, whatever it is, go out and have a retreat. Dude, do you remember when we did our first retreat? I mean, was that literally last year? Was that the first official one?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we spent plenty of time just getting together and at the loft, but you know, actually taking ourselves out of our day-to-day stuff, knowing we're not going to head home and get back into the grind of just daily life. You know, I think that was an important step for us. We're doing it again next month, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so what we're doing there, guys and gals, the same thing. Whether even if it's just you and your business, have an offsite retreat. Okay, go out there. Even if it's just you and your business, go out there for a couple of days. Find a spot where you can have full focus. Get away from Facebook. Get away from, you know, all communication except for just your family or something like that. And just go out there offsite. And I think that's the important thing. To me, I can't come home that night and then go back and meet with you guys. Like, we've got to be there overnight so you can fully absorb the messaging, so you can fully absorb why you're there, things like that. Have an offsite. Once a quarter is ideally. Once every 6 months is great. For sure, have an offsite planning session for the year. And that's what we're doing here this next month, is having our next year's planning session. 2 days, the shareholders in the company are getting together. We're going to plan out the next year, basically in 2 days. So there'll be a lot of work that comes out of that, but
yeah, we're
getting a lot of it aimed down there. So I want to talk about tools, and we've got about 5 more minutes here. So tools, since we are working virtual, and I think a lot of people are working remotely or virtually, do you want you kind of run through some of the things that we've implemented with Carrot that are working really well, even though the majority of us don't see each other in person except for maybe once a month?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we use, and we've come a long way. I remember when I first got involved with what Carrot was before I was involved, and for a while after, you know, we used a Gmail account that multiple people signed into. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's how we communicated with our customers. And you know, if we needed to communicate with each other, it was, well, I remember what we used. We'd email each other.
I think it was email, literally, or maybe even Skype. I can't remember if we were using like Skype chat or something. No, it was, dude, it was Google chat and just the end of Gmail is what it was.
So yeah, we've come a long way from there. We've been through a lot of tools and we've tried a lot of things and, you know, they've all worked and solved the need for us at the time. And I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't know about Slack at this point, and what that's changed for us is everything. You know, what I would say is, first of all, find the things that work for you and try not to just jump onto every new thing that comes along. That's, you know, that's been something that's worked for us all the way, all three and over all these years. But, you know, when something does come along that can improve things for you, definitely be open to it. I think I probably push along more of that stuff and just from the technical mindset, I see these new things and I can see how they can help us. And you know, I test that stuff out and I make sure it's something that's really going to work well for us. But yeah, we're in Slack all the time. We have a different channel for every project that we're working on, every little team that needs to be able to discuss stuff. And I'm a big proponent of that, and I try to get everybody to talk about things that are happening even with our customers and in one place, so that when if we need to go and run a search for something, you know, we know that we can always go find a link to whatever that was, or you know, what happened with that project. It's always going to be in one place. So Slack's our home base for all that stuff, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Something I'm happy that we pay for and happy to see that business growing and doing well.
Exactly. Yeah. So Slack, you know, once again, guys and guys, if you don't have Slack, it's probably slack.com. I don't know if, I mean, I think it is, but, yeah, it's just go check it out. I mean, it's really tough to explain it. Even when you download it the first time, you might be like, why do I need this thing? I already use this and this and this and this. The reason you need it is because you use this, this and this and this to communicate. So as soon as we started using Slack as a team, they have a lot of really cool integrations that you can basically have Slack be the house of all of your team communications. But we really don't use email anymore internally, between the team. I can't remember the last time I sent you an email. It was probably maybe, I don't know. It was a while ago, but it was probably something that Imran, our CFO, emailed us, and we were probably communicating there cause he's not in Slack, but, it basically replaced email for our whole team. So we have a team HQ. Another thing that I think is really important being virtual is you got to have the FaceTime, you know, even if it's, and I'm not talking FaceTime as in my iPhone. I'm talking FaceTime as in like what Chris and I are doing here, where I can see his face. We're talking, we're communicating. And, we use Google Hangouts for that. And you guys can use that inside of Slack really easily. We have a Monday team call that, we really tackle what we're going to be, what our priorities are for the week, kind of go over some, hey, what are people going through? What are some big wins? That kind of thing. And then what our current structure is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have what we call office hours, where Tuesday, Chris and I hop on a hangout. And if anyone needs any questions from us, just like they're going to come knock on our door, they can just hop in that hangout and ask us questions while we're on there. And then Chris takes one day and I take another day during that week. And then we wrap up the week with a team call on Friday. So pretty much, you know, we've got the four people here in office and plus myself. So five here in the office in Roseburg. And then the other four elsewhere, pretty much every day, man, I'm seeing almost everyone's face, which is really cool. And having a real conversation with them, I think that's really, really important for culture stuff. I'll throw one last thing out and then probably close this puppy up is when you're going into partnership with someone, or you're just growing a company and growing a team. I think it's really, really, really important to, like, one of our core values is have fun, you know, find ways to get out of the normal business, find ways to, even if it's during work hours, guys, there's always going to be more work hours, float the river like we do at least once a year here in Roseburg with the team, or, we did a retreat on the Oregon coast in June with the whole team, flew Adrian in for that. And we're doing another one probably in Sun River in the snow in January. And just go out there and find ways to have fun in the business, because you're not going to retain anyone, including a business partner, if people aren't having fun. Because the day-to-day can kind of get monotonous. Dude, I want to throw this one last thing at you. I've never asked you this. What was your first thought when we came up with the idea to make our own carrot bud dolls? Like, do you remember, what you thought about that? Did you think that's a stupid idea at the start, or that was a good idea?
I don't remember what I thought the first time then, but man, I remember that presentation we did for the the Real Estate Investor Association in Portland, and we went to and bought all of the big carrot dolls, the one that's behind us right now, and we set them all up in that big room where you were doing your presentation, and I just knew at that point, I'm like, this is fun, and this is a fun brand for us, and I just love that. So the carrot bud thing, I love seeing the interaction we get with our customers when we send those out, and that's what I love the most about it, is just seeing other people's reaction to it, and I think it was a great decision for us. I love the little custom ones that we make, and my kids just go crazy over them every time we get a new one. So it just contributes to that fun factor. And like you said, if I was just writing code all day, and it was the same thing over and over again, that's why I was a freelancer and not just building something. So the fun that we have, the changes that we have each week, and the things that we do differently is what keeps this being something that I want to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Just keep doing it.
Well, dude, I appreciate the heck out of you hopping on with me onto a carrot cast. Hopefully it's not our last one. Maybe we'll hop on a technical conversation about something.
Sure.
People have those questions, but dude, do you have any kind of advice for people on the partnership side? If they're looking at starting a company, or if they're looking at joining someone else, any advice you can throw people to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'd say probably the thing that I appreciate that we did the most was just getting to know each other, and not even so much the business stuff, but just getting to know each other was what makes this still work. So even though we come up against challenges, or you know, we butt heads on something, you know, we can always stop that, go have a beer, and just hang out and know that, you know, we'll come back at it again the next day, and we're gonna figure it out. So I appreciate you very much, and thanks for having me on here. And it's been a wild ride, and I'm happy to see where it goes next.
I love it, man. Well, guys and gals, go out there, and I'm going to run down a quick list of things. If you're looking at not just bringing on a partner, but building a team, guys, go to Kolbe.com, Kolbe.com, and you and everyone on your team take the darn test. Like I said, I think it's $50 or something like that. So worth it. Next, come up with your set of core values. What is it that you're going to operate your business on? How are you going to hire people? How are you going to attract people? Third thing, find your integrator. What is not your opposite, but the person who can help add that fuel, that rocket fuel, as the book says, to you, your business, your idea, what your skill set is. Because there's always that other person out there who can add rocket fuel to what it is that you do, so your life can be easier. You can do more of what you like to do, what makes your heart sing, as we like to say. And also that person can as well. You guys can do much bigger things together. And above all else, guys and gals, just have fun. Business is not life. Business should fuel life. So make sure that you're finding someone you really want to work with. You build a product and a business that you're really passionate about that makes a real difference, and go out there and hit it. Don't quit before you actually see those results, and just go out there and crush it. So guys and gals, check out our other episodes of the Carrot Cast, and we appreciate you. Thank you. I'll tell you what, guys and gals, I wish it didn't take me 3 business partnerships to kind of figure out, you know, the missing links and the keys to make them work really well. Now, once again, I want to reiterate, I've had some amazing, amazing business partners. I'm so really good friends with all 3 of them. But some of them worked better than others. And like, so what we had talked about in this episode of the Carrot Cast with my co-founder, Chris Carr, is kind of what we have done to make this business partnership work really well, and what I personally will do in the future all the time if I have any other business partners in the future, to make it work really well for all sides, to make it insanely motivating for all sides, also make it really fulfilling, but also the biggest thing, guys and gals, make it so you mesh, the core founding team meshes really well. They're complementary, but also they challenge each other. You know, business partnership should not be without challenge. Business partnership should not be where everyone just agrees with the other person. There should be challenge. There should be some discourse every now and then. I think it's really healthy for the business. Okay. It challenges everyone to improve and kind of get off of our high horse sometimes and listen to another perspective. So if you're looking at starting a business, or if you're looking at bringing in a business partner, don't follow the conventional wisdom to never take a business partner. Okay. The people who are saying that have gone about it the wrong way. You look at some of the most successful business partnerships in the world, guys and gals, Apple Computer with Steve Jobs, you have Microsoft, the two or three co-founders there. You look at almost every big endeavor, almost every big company, there are always co-founders in the business. Facebook, I mean, you can just keep on naming them one after another. Okay. So business partnerships can be amazing if they're set up correctly from the start, if they're set up with good intentionality, good solid core values, good processes so everyone feels like it's fair, and also really, really good communication and understanding how the other person works. Okay, so take those tests like we mentioned and go out there, guys. Don't be afraid of a business partnership. Use that fuel to amplify what you can do in your life, to amplify what your business partner can do in their life, and do a, you know, have a bigger mission together. Okay, with that said, guys and gals, if you guys are interested in growing your company, if you guys are interested in growing your business and in spreading your message wider, like we do here at Carrot, we use content marketing. We use content marketing each and every day, whether it's this podcast or whether it's blog posts, whether it's video marketing. We use content to connect with you, to connect with our audience, so we can help you guys do less, do more of what makes your heart sing and have less hassle in tech and marketing issues. Cause we know when we can unshackle you guys from those things, when we can inspire you guys to go out there and do bigger things, you can live your greater life and you can make your greater impact. Okay. So how do you guys do content marketing? Well, if you're not sure, we have a free resource that you guys can download. All you have to do is whip out your phone right now. If you're already on your phone, write this down or go to your phone, call thingy or text message thingy right now. That's the technical term for it. And type in the phone number. It's a short code, 38470. 38470, and text the word carrot. So text the word carrot to 38470. And what we will do is our system will then recognize that. It'll say, hey, what's your email address? Text your email address back and we will get you our free content marketing guide. This is a video. It's a worksheet that's going to walk you through getting started with your own content marketing. And then as you go through that, guys and gals, we have a lot of more advanced resources to really ramp up your content marketing as well. So if you're looking to spread your message wider, cut through that clutter, become the expert in your market, the way you do it and the way we do it is with content marketing. Just get that free resource, text the word carrot to 38470, and we will get it right to you for free. All right, guys and gals, that's it for today's episode. If you haven't checked out the other episodes of the Carrot Cast, we have some amazing calls coming up with other entrepreneurs that are really good friends of mine, that are crushing it in the real estate development market, that are doing other amazing things. And also internally, I'm going to be pulling back with another team member of ours to have a great conversation on some other internal things. We want to kind of open up the doors here at Carrot so you guys can see more of what's going on internally in our company. So keep an eye out, guys and gals. Go out there and have an amazing rest of the week. Make your greater impact. Thanks, guys and gals.